So Sarah got busted, right? And kind of exploring this passage, I was really very interested in wondering, what did Sarah's laugh sound like? Because there's lots of different ways to laugh, right? There's the giggle of the 2-year-old. I've always kind of thought that the voice of God, when we all meet God face to face, I think God's voice is going to sound like the laughter of a 2-year-old. That laughter of just joyous discovery, just kind of. I love that sound, you know. And maybe that's Sarah's sound when she is at 90 years old, being told yet again that she's going to have a child. But, you know, this isn't Sarah's first rodeo, right? When Abram was called out of the land of Ur back in, when he was maybe 20 years old, maybe he was 30, but he just married Sarah. They were about their adventure, and they were called out of their homeland to go to a promised land that would be for Abram and for his descendants, a place that would be their own. It would be a land flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be a place where he would father a tremendous nation, and that all people in all places would count themselves blessed because of Abraham. And they've been on an adventure. Gosh, it's been an amazing lifetime for them. They kind of went from being a wandering Aramean to they kind of wander around. They find their place. They get over into the land of Canaan. Things aren't going really good there. They find themselves. Abraham has to lie about Sarah. He tells her to say that she's his sister because she's so beautiful that she knows that the Pharaoh will kill him in order to have his wife as the Pharaoh's wife. And so Sarah goes ahead and lies, and the Pharaoh takes Sarah into his house. And before he's able to consummate the relationship, he discovers that she's actually Abraham's wife, and he's really glad that he doesn't do anything to bring God's judgment on him, but he sends Abraham away with lots and lots of sheep and goats and money, and it's really how Abraham becomes a rich guy, is by this kind of deceit of Pharaoh. So, but she still doesn't have a kid. You know, so now he's gone from being a poor wandering Aramean to being a person of just tremendous means. He's a very wealthy man. He has a household full of servants. He's got lots of people around him. He's established. He's anchored this community with the wealth that God has provided to him. Abraham's actually doing my What is all of this lovely wealth, power, prestige that you've given me? Because I don't have a child to inherit it. It's all going to be inherited by Eliezer of Damascus. Abram's an old man, you know, and he's kind of given up on it. And when Sarah takes a look, you know, she reads the tea leaves, and she's fully aware that she's now too old to have a child. So she convinces Abraham to have relations with her servant Hagar, and Hagar conceives and bears a child, and that's Ishmael. And they're kind of doing their thing, and Ishmael's growing, and he's reached 13 years old, kind of that age of coming into adulthood. And God tells Abraham that, well, now that your kid's 13, he has to be circumcised. But even more than that, you have to be circumcised. And every male in your house has to be circumcised. And so they have a circumcising party. And I can't imagine that was an awful lot of fun. It's like... but that is that they're kind of walking around with a little bit of infection and a good bit of pain and kind of wondering if, if God really wanted them to do that, because sometimes you wonder what God really wants. And here comes, God's talking to Abraham, and Abraham turns around, looks, and here's these three men, and he runs to them and says, come into my home, come, sit under the shade tree. Make yourselves comfortable. Let me feed you. Let me give you some water. Let me wash your feet. Let me take care of you. You are a sojourner. You are a visitor to our land. I am so happy to have you here. Let me provide for you. And so he makes provision for these outsiders, and he feeds them a wonderful meal, and then they give him this message. And the message is, you know what? I'm going to come back here in a year, and at that time, you will have a child by Sarah. And, okay, so here's Sarah. Now, Sarah's doing what women should be doing, right? She's off baking bread. Yeah, not so much, right? She's really doing what she should be doing. She's actually part of the conversation. She's hanging out at the door of the tent. She hears this conversation happen. It could be this total dismissal, because how many times has Sarah heard from God that she's going to have this dream of hers come true? How many times when she was young and fit and fertile and so beautiful that the world sought after her? How many times was she desiring of having a child and it just never, ever happened? And here is God yet again. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little jaded this week. I'm thinking if this is me, there might even be a little bit of contempt in that laughter. There's a sorrow of so many dashed hopes and broken promises in that laughter. That Sarah has heard this before, and she really doesn't believe it. And when the sojourners, the foreigners, confront her with her laughter, and she says, but I didn't laugh. And they say, yeah, you did. We heard it. And you know what, Sarah? You actually earned that. You had a right to laugh because your dreams have been broken so many times. I understand. I understand. That's God saying, hurry up, Barlow. All right. But I hear in Sarah's laughter this time around of unfulfilled hopes, of promises that didn't transpire the way we thought they were going to. And I think I stand with a community of people who hear that kind of laughter sometimes when we claim the promises of God, where we have hoped and we have prayed and we have been promised and we have had our hearts broken so many times that we get a little calloused, that when we hear that same promise yet again, we find a little laughter. The 70 have gone out, and we've talked about who is my neighbor with the parable of the Samaritan or the man beaten by the roadside. And we just kind of finish off with that conversation about who is my neighbor. And Jesus and his apostles go on their way, and he enters a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get up and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. It will not be taken from her. And again, I want to hear, was he being inviting? Was he concerned? What? I mean, when I only have words on a piece of paper, I really don't know how he said it. And it makes a huge difference. You know, Jesus, here's this person. I love that Martha is the one who came to Jesus. She invited him into her house. I love that this isn't Lazarus's house. You know, that she's got a brother. We know the story of Martha's brother, and Luke's very clear. This isn't Lazarus's house. This is Martha's house. And Martha had the power to invite Jesus in. And Martha went forward and she saw Jesus and his companions, many of them, coming by, and she said, "Please come to my house. Come and have supper with me. Let me welcome you as you make your sojourn through this village, as you are on your way to Jerusalem, let me provide for you. Let me make a space for you to be who you are and to do what it is you need to do here." And I love that message from her. And I think about how much we love to have people into our home. You know, and there's things to prepare, and there's dishes to do, and there's things to watch, and there's dogs to be aware of, and we got to watch about these dynamics, and we start negotiating all of this stuff, and it's possible to get so wrapped up in all the trappings of blessed you with their presence. You know, I'm just kind of thinking with Martha here. You know, Martha, just order a pizza. Order a pizza, you know, or you know, if somebody doesn't get that last course of the meal, you know, if anybody's still hungry, they can stop at McDonald's on the way home. Nobody's going to starve to death here. Don't be so caught up in the trappings of being the good host, of being the woman, that you forget to be welcome. Not an ordinary dinner party. This is a party where we're inviting Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to come and to spend a moment with us, a time when we are inviting Jesus to share this journey with us. Find within yourself the ability to be present in this moment with this company. And I so understand how this happened. Women in the church were expected to be in the kitchen, that the men were the ones who stood in pulpits, the men were the ones who did the reading, the men were the ones who officiated the sacraments, and the men were the ones who wrote the books and staffed the seminaries and had all the voice. And the women were supposed to be in the kitchen doing womanly things, making it possible for the men to do what men are supposed to do. And how Jesus confronts the one who sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him, how she is really the example of who we need to be. And I love serving people, I love being served by people. I love the joy of the generosity of people's lives and hearts when they create a wonderful space and experience for me. But not when it's at the cost of having the person be part of the story. And Jesus is saying to Martha, "Martha, I need you to be part of this story. I don't need you so busy trying to meet your roles and the way that you define yourself that you lose the opportunity to be present at this moment. Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. Loved in your wholeness, and it's not about the tasks that you accomplish, but it's about the person you are. Martha, I love you this day because you are who you are. And I welcome you to in the community. to be heard in the church. That all those things that animate your life are important to me. They're important to our world, and do not let them be subsumed by the power and dynamic of roles that are outdated. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the beauty and the gentleness of this day, for the picnic that is unfolding even as we're speaking, for the dreams of those who are here, and for the dreams and concerns of those who can't make it today. Lord, we ask that you, in your wholeness, welcome us to your presence. May we be your confused people, not fully understanding how our role fits into your community this day. In Jesus' name, amen.